Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference and learn how you can make a difference as well. Have you ever heard or used the phrase, curiosity killed the cat? If you have, then you know that it has a negative connotation, like prying into matters that don't concern you. But did you know that there was a second part added back in the early 1900s that turned this phrase from a negative statement into a positive one? Now it's curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back. I recently had lunch with a friend, and he asked me, Jill, how's the show going? Are you meeting any interesting people? And he was curious, very curious, not in a curiosity killed the cat kind of way, because he wanted information and a better understanding of who I was talking to. My answer, whenever anybody asks me that question, is I've met a lot of really great people doing many wonderful things in our community. I have no favorites. Everybody does such a great job. We live in such a resource-rich community, but if you're not curious to find out what those resources are, you won't know how you can use them or share them with someone who can. As I was preparing for our nonprofit interview today, the description of this nonprofit said a number of things. They empower individuals to take ownership of pursuing a positive future. They embody a culture of belonging in all they do, and they implement practices aimed at turning their words into action. They're committed to constant learning, reflection, and growth, and as a result, believe the individuals they serve and our community as a whole will benefit. Now, notice there's no hint in these descriptions of who they serve or what programs or services they provide, right? These descriptions could really describe a number of different nonprofits: committed to pursuing a positive future, turning words into actions, constant learning, reflection, and growth. All really great things. But here's the thing. It created that curiosity in me to learn more. How do they do these things? And who do they serve? So let's get right to it. My guest today is Clarence Johnson, President and CEO of Wisconsin Community Services, or UCS, whose mission began as a small effort in 1912, but has grown far beyond what its founders likely ever envisioned possible. Welcome to the show today, Clarence.
Jill, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with your listeners and also to talk a little bit more about the work that Wisconsin Community Services is doing in our community and has done for well over 100 years, the impact that we have and why the services and programs we provide are so incredibly important to many members of our community.
So we said that you've been around since 1912. You've been serving the Milwaukee community for over 110 years. When you look at more than a century of service, what do you think has remained constant about the purpose of WCS and what has evolved to meet the needs of today's community?
Well, WCS has been very true to its mission over the past several decades, focused on serving people's needs one person at a time and providing services to those most in need, people who have some fairly complex needs. Our mission began by working with people who are coming back to the community from incarceration. So providing housing, employment, assisting with their families, and other things that are important to successful community reentry. And so even back then, and of course, progressing through today, we were accustomed to working with people who, quite frankly, might have been shunned by other members of our society, recognizing that everyone needs support, everyone has value, everyone has worth. And so our mission really is to work with people that, quite frankly, other organizations have a difficult time working with. We have changed over the past several decades. And so our two primary pillars are working with people who are justice impacted or justice involved. That's sort of the current nomenclature. And also our second pillar, working with people who have behavioral health needs, and that includes mental health needs and substance use needs.
Okay. All right. Well, you've been described as a sleeping giant, meaning that you're a large organization, but not a lot of people know the depth and the breadth of your work. So I'm curious, why do you think that humility and integrity have been such defining values for WCS over the years?
Well, let me begin by saying that Wisconsin Community Services doesn't have the kind of brand recognition that organizations that say for housing or perhaps food insecurity, domestic violence, those kinds of organizations tend to have higher profiles. They may be very small in terms of what they do, but I think those things, after school programs, for different reasons, resonate with the broader community at a different level. Whereas Wisconsin Community Services, again, the people that we work with have some pretty complex and significant needs. Justice impacted people, many of whom have substance use challenges and mental health challenges. And so we do our work, and to a large degree, very quietly in the community and working with the population that oftentimes our community and others don't see. They're invisible. So they're really unseen in many, many ways. And so for us, it's important that they have a provider like WCS, Wisconsin Community Services, that understands how complicated their lives can be, understands their complex needs, and really willing to walk with them side by side to help them achieve their goals, help them overcome adversity, empower them to be productive and successful in their lives. And we do that with integrity. It's incredibly important. We don't want to take control of anyone's life. We want people to be empowered to take control of their own life. And so we really partner with people, and we also partner with others in the community. And because of that, we've become known, I think, as an organization that really does things with integrity, honesty, sincerity. And those kinds of things have always been a hallmark of Wisconsin Community Services, certainly are now today, and will be into the future as well.
Into the next 110 years,
absolutely,
right?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, you've spent your entire career serving others and have led WCS through a period of significant growth. Can you discuss a bit of your personal story and how that has shaped the way that you lead this organization?
Well, in many ways, my story is probably not that different or uncommon. I am from Milwaukee, grew up in Milwaukee's Central City, and at a time when, you know, life could be challenging in a community that has certainly some challenges and a number of issues, shall we say. And I suppose when I was in middle school, there was this social worker who I always thought was very compassionate, very empathetic toward families. I was very warm and really cared about the students and their families. And that person, that individual, Zamil, made a positive impression on me. Fast forward a couple of years beyond that, and one day I happened to walk into an organization, a local neighborhood center, group work agency, and I had the good fortune to be hired by them for about 5 years. And so I was in high school at the time, and I probably would not have finished high school had I not walked through those doors. Back then, you didn't really need to finish high school to get a good job. You can get any one of the many factories in Milwaukee. But those staff apparently saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And so that was my fork in the road. So instead of not finishing high school, went on to finish high school. They encouraged me to go to college. And the staff at that organization were wonderful. Very diverse, again, very caring, very focused on connecting with people in ways that are very positive. They saw everyone at the center in the community as having value, having worth, and they had committed their lives to service. And I think those values rubbed off on me. And as I finished undergraduate school and graduate school, I was able to carry those values forward in the work that I did in the community, which has always been human services. And so for me, probably the guiding forces for me, again, doing the right thing, making sure that people who needed human services, social services, had those services were provided by people, organizations who really cared, who were committed, who believed in people.
Yeah.
You know, that was very important to me. I've seen that in many of the organizations I worked for, and certainly I see it a lot in the staff that we have at Wisconsin Community Services. So as I grew up, I didn't see a lot of social services in my community. There were certainly a number of mental health challenges, substance use issues, but there weren't really very many services available to those in need. And so my vision was that we're able to provide those services in communities that are underserved, perhaps are under-resourced and make sure that not only are those services available, but they're also provided at a high level, quality level, with integrity, and by people who care.
Well, speaking of the services, you now have more than 60 programs across behavioral health, reentry housing, youth services, and more. What do you think truly sets you apart from other organizations doing similar work?
That's a great question. And I would never suggest that we're better than any other organization. Jill, I don't think that we are. As I mentioned before, I'll say it again, we're very big on collaboration, very big on partnering, understanding that we can't solve the world's problems, the community's problems alone. We have to do that in tandem with others. So that's really important for us. So what sets WCS apart? Other factors include the myriad of services that we provide. In some ways, we're a one-stop shop. Again, the 60 programs that you described earlier, Jill, they can meet a wide range of needs, mental health needs, substance use needs, housing. We have a driver's license recovery program. We have programs for youth, for adults. So you don't have to visit necessarily a multitude of organizations to get the services that you need. In many cases, what you need, you can get at Wisconsin Community Services. And we do have more than one location. Our main location in Milwaukee is at 3732 West Wisconsin Avenue. We have program sites throughout Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County.
Okay.
And also programs in Waukesha County and Jefferson County as well, and smaller counties in southeast Wisconsin. So it's not just Milwaukee.
Okay. Well, that's very good to know that you're reaching outside the Milwaukee County. And much of the work that you do is person-centered. It's trauma-informed and strength-based. Why do you feel that meeting people where they are is such a core philosophy for WCS? And why does it matter so much?
Well, it matters because the way we engage people is important in that we're looking, examining their needs, their concerns and issues through their eyes. So we're not forcing our expectations, our judgment on them. We're really letting them lead the way in terms of how they want services to be provided. And in many ways, that's what it means when one says meeting people where they are, whether they're just beginning their recovery or perhaps have been into it for some time. Our goal is to really understand what's important for them, what their goals are, what their aspirations are, what they see as important. And that really dictates then how we work with them. It's not coming from us. It's person-centered. It's that person's expectations, that person's goals, where that person is. Not WCS.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of a thing.
Precisely.
You do a needs analysis
to
find out what each individual needs, and then you provide support. Or, as you said, you have collabs out there within the community that if you don't have what they need, you can connect them with somebody that does.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, stats show that Milwaukee is facing a mental health crisis. In fact, I believe the current stat is 1 in 5 in Wisconsin. It's actually identified as Milwaukee County's top health-related issue. So what is WCS doing to address this? Well, stay tuned, and we'll dive deeper into that after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to MPC, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. At EIG, we are committed to education. That's why we host seminars throughout the year covering topics like Medicare, estate planning, real estate investing, caregiving, personal finance, and more. And the best part? They're open to everyone. Curious about what's coming up? Visit ellenbecker.com/events and join us. We'd love to see you there.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Clarence Johnson, President and CEO of Wisconsin Community Services. So, Clarence, we understand that Milwaukee is facing a mental health crisis, and it's actually identified as the county's top health-related issue. So what are you seeing on the ground through your community-based mental health programs that the broader community might not see?
That's a great question, Jill. What I would say is that we've seen the need in terms of the population that we serve. We serve about 400 or maybe 425 people through our community-based mental health program. And these are people that have some of the most complex, significant mental health needs in our community: bipolar, schizophrenia, depression. And many of them have had their diagnosis early in life, teens, early adulthood. 80% of the people that we serve are between the ages of 25 and 64. So that's a pretty wide age range. And they're also with us for a number of years, which I think is always important in terms of their ability to remain in the community, live independently, and avoid being in a hospital, jails, things of that nature. And so we have seen since the pandemic a population of people, individuals that have always had some pretty complex mental health needs and the need for support. That's even been more complicated by the pandemic as people face social isolation. They didn't have the kind of connections that perhaps they had before the pandemic. Uncertainty, fear, what they could purchase with their dollars, which are limited in the first place. They're for the most part on fixed incomes, limited incomes. So their stability has been compromised significantly by the pandemic. I don't think we've really seen them rebound yet, quite frankly. There's been some re-traumatization because of the pandemic as well. And so we're still kind of battling from that. Folks are still disconnected, isolated. And so that manifests itself in, again, probably more use of drugs, alcohol, and things that are just contrary to what their mental health needs really are. So we have to work harder. We have to work smarter. We have fewer dollars to do that work. And those are all factors which make serving that population of people, again, let me stress this again, Jill, with some very complex mental health needs. Many of them will be with an organization like WCS or another organization that does similar work for the entirety of their lives. Most of them probably not going to be working because they just don't have the capacity. Some do. We certainly encourage those who can, but many of them can't. So life has grown more challenging. Housing has become more of an issue. It's just life has just become more complicated for them.
Well, you talked a little bit about being with people for a long time. For many individuals, WCS isn't a short-term service. It's a consistent partner for 7, 8, beyond years, right? What does that long-term relationship mean for the people that you serve?
Well, let me share just a quick story of this, and I'll say use the initials DP, who has been with Wisconsin Community Services for probably since the early 90s. Again, someone that had a pretty early diagnosis and was in and out of the justice system as a adolescent, young adult because of drug possession issues. So arrest, incarceration, referred to Wisconsin Community Services because we do work with a large corrections population.
Okay.
In our mental health, community-based mental health program, or people who have justice involvement, I should say, rather. And so we're able to work with DP over the years, get him income, housing, get him stabilized at some point. We began to address the issues that related to drug usage. And so the incarceration discontinued as we went into the 2000s. DP became very stable on his medication, was able to get a driver's license, comes to us to see a psychiatrist, medication management. And so he comes to us, usually it's once every couple of weeks to see a case manager, probably to see a nurse, maybe his psychiatrist to do a new budget, you know, for his income to assess if there are any current housing issues. And this is someone that was able to get his license a couple of years ago. And so while he can't work because of his symptoms, because of his needs, he does some volunteer work for this person who he calls a big brother. It's actually someone that he met many years ago. And the person is actually that his big brother has a visual impairment. And so he was unable to drive beginning 3-4 years ago. So DP uses his car, takes him to appointments, and that really gives him a sense of purpose in his life also.
Yeah.
And DP will be very quick to say that were it not for WCS, and I've spoken with the person that he calls his big brother also, he would probably not be living in the community independently, may still be involved with the justice system. So that lifetime, that long support for many people like DP becomes so incredibly important because we want them to live as independently as possible, but recognizing that without the support of BCS, that possibility could be undermined or compromised. And so our involvement becomes very critical. We don't want to over-involve them, but we want to meet them where they are.
Sure, sure. Well, again, it only takes one person to make a difference in someone's life, as you talked about with your mentor when you were growing up. And so the person that DP is helping they're helping each other.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. And then you step in when needed.
Yes.
Right. Well, let's talk about the Wisconsin Avenue community-based mental health site. Why is this building so much more than just a place to receive services?
Well, the building is located at, if you know Milwaukee, 37th and Wisconsin Avenue. So it's just adjacent to what I call downtown Milwaukee. It's a very accessible location in terms of many of the people that we serve in that community-based mental health program are able to walk to the building or get a bus. Those who can drive can drive. There's a nice parking lot. So it's a really great space for many of the people in that in the community-based mental health program. The staff, whether it's their case manager or perhaps a nurse or a psychiatrist, those are relationships that people have developed over the years, and they become very important to them. So oftentimes, as you're planning out your day, the highlight of your day may be coming down to Wisconsin Community Services and talking with some of the staff, but also with other people who are using the program. You know, that's really important. The space, unfortunately, has not been remodeled or renovated since we opened the doors about 25 years ago. And we've come a long way as a field in terms of understanding what spaces should look like and feel like, both for the staff who work there, it's about 80 staff, and the 400 plus people who use who receive services there. We want the building to be more warm, welcoming, trauma-informed. We want it to be a space where they feel that they're respected and also that they're treated with dignity. And that really helps them feel better about their lives. It also communicates to them how much we care and value them as people, as
right.
individuals. That's
right.
very important.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this campaign for WCS, Rebuilding Lives Through Dignity, Safety, and Hope. Why is now the right time for WCS's first ever capital campaign to raise funds for this building site, this new site?
Well, an organization that's been providing services for 110 years that has in some ways worked in a level at a level of anonymity, we believe our story is important to share with others in the community. And the Capital Campaign will help us to do that because we have to go out, we have to meet people and talk about the work that we do. Also, to engage people and increase the community's understanding and awareness of why a Wisconsin Community Services is so important, is so impactful. And our capital campaign really affords us an opportunity to do that. Many of the most of the programs we operate are government funded programs. And so the funding that you receive is enough to operate the program, but it isn't enough to do some of the necessary remodeling or renovations that are required to keep buildings current in terms of how they function for the staff who work there. That's mm-hmm. very important. And also as spaces that are safe, that are warm, that are welcoming. And so our capital campaign really allows us to create some flexibility, we hope, to generate revenues that allow us to renovate the building and to make sure that it's a space that people can continue to use for years, because we know that this is a problem that's not going away in terms of mental health needs. It's not going anywhere.
Absolutely, because you're transforming the lives for the people that you serve and the staff, as
yes.
you said. Yeah. Well, for those listening who care about the future of mental health care in Milwaukee, what would you say to invite them to walk alongside WCS and to be a part of Rebuilding Hope?
Well, I would say get to know the organization. Certainly, you can follow us on social, Wisconsin Community Services, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can remain current with what's happening within the organization. That's a great way to get to know WCS. You can also visit us on our website, www.wiscs.org. And you can read and see all the impactful things that we're doing in the community across Southeast Wisconsin and how our services really make a difference and why they're important for really not just those that are using the programs, because on any given day, quite frankly, that could be any of us, but for our broader community also, and just connecting our community in that way.
Okay, so information on how to get to Wisconsin Community Services is in our show notes. But Clarence, can you just repeat that website one more time, please?
Our website is www.wiscs, org or O-R-G. Hop on the website. It'll tell you a lot about the programs that we operate, our staff, our impact in the community.
Awesome. Well, I thank you for joining me today and sharing all the ways that you provide support and solutions to the ongoing mental health crisis in our community, and just for sharing with our listeners who you are and what you do so that you can build that awareness. And I hope that our listeners are curious and want to learn more by visiting your website or just reaching out and learning more about what you do and how you make an impact. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Thanks also to our listeners for tuning in to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where you learn about nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes like Clarence Johnson, who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. To hear more inspiring stories and perhaps find a place to plug in and share your time, your talents, and your resources, just tap the subscribe button or go to ellenbecker.com/podcasts. Whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.